97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North George, where it's time once again for Community Focus, our public affairs program. This morning we have two special guests live in our studios here at 97.5 Glory FM. Joining us is Georgia House Representative Emory Donahue Jr. and a man who's running for Hall County Commission in 2026, Steve Gailey. I'll join me this morning. We're going to have a lot of fun this morning. Right now, they're taking over the radio show right now. I'm just going to sit back and let them talk this morning. Hey, guys.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
See, so it's the Steve and Emory show, or Emory and Steve show, whichever they want to call it from that standpoint. So, guys, tell everybody why y'all want to come on here and talk with everybody this morning.
Well, I think that, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, several issues, we got the national problems, we got the state issues, we got the local problems. And Emory, you know, I've been a commissioner for 8 years. Felt like I did a pretty good job for North Hall. I think right now, though, some of the things we've got going on in the county are just ridiculous growth-wise. And Emory and I were talking about this, and Emory being on the state level actually probably gets more phone calls and more griping than the county commissioners do, you know, about what's going on growth-wise, infrastructure-wise, and everything. And, you know, he told me that he wasn't going to run again. I said, well, why don't you run for that District 3 seat? And he said, nah, if you're going to run, he said, I think you'd be just fine. You know, so that, you know, I think today is, it's not a campaign thing for me, really. It's just talk about the issues and the problems we have all the way around with what's going on right now with our country and county and state.
All right, that sounds good. So, Emory, you heard the program we had last week with the state majority leader on the Senate side. And he was talking about even issues here locally from that standpoint. Go back to a moment and let everybody know again about what you've got planned coming in January when you go back to the General Assembly.
Well, Mike, and it was a great show. Jason is a great servant, very much a person we need in the Senate. When you look at this coming session, it's going to be really strange because rumor is we might get out early.
Because of the election,
and what happened is you see past Tuesday, our Republican friends were lazy and didn't get out and vote. And that's a fact, and we can call it like it is. But this coming year, we met Tuesday, and we're doing the Equal Protection Bill. That's the pro-life bill that I'll be carrying again, that life starts at conception. With that, we are going to push it harder. We have representatives, their constituents are calling them, the senators, the speaker, governor's office to ask for another hearing and a vote. I have the Ten Commandments, the monument that we passed in 2014. And it's funny, we passed it through the House, the Senate, governor signed it and never put it on the property of the Capitol. So I have that designed. We're waiting for the grounds committee to call me down to present how we'll be doing this. Cool. I have all the money raised for it. However, this has been kind of going on now for 4 months, 5 months, and they keep telling me we're going to meet, get her done, and I'm going to keep pushing that. I have the Ten Commandments in every school. That bill was there last year, but we were concentrating more on tort. And when I say the Ten Commandments in every school, they wanted originally to put it in every classroom. What we wanted to do is put it in three spots: the entrance of the school, the library, and either a cafeteria or a sporting event like the gym, someplace like that.
Okay.
No cost to the state. Everything will be funded and paid for. And these are some of the things we'll be working on. I have a piece of legislation I talked about the other day, HB 300, and that is about title pawn. And we have different mortgage lenders, banks. We have different lenders that are like GILA and title pawn. Basically, the bill, all it does is says if you're going to be basically in a business to loan money and call yourself a pawn, then you have to take possession, repossession of what you pawn, the car that you send money and let somebody borrow that money. You have to take it back. Today they don't. Those are the main things that they'll be carrying. We have a couple more that I've been asked to carry, and I told them, you know, I don't want to get down with 10 bills again. I did 13 bills back in 16, and 10 bills, and then I decided, you know, why am I coming down here passing bills when I need to kill bills and we need to stop passing laws?
There you go. Again, our guests this morning on Community Focus, Emory Donahue Jr. and Steve Gailey join us this morning here on Community Focus. Emory, one big thing we talked to the majority of you last week is about the idea of, with the election coming up next year, about eliminating the state income tax.
Well, you know, Mike, that's funny. My bill's the fair tax. And, of course, I couldn't get anybody to jump on board with the fair tax, and Governor Deal ran on the fair tax. And we met, and, you know, in all fairness, Governor Deal, I think, was looking at it like, well, I believe in it, but it's working pretty good with the tax structure we have.
He told me years ago, Governor Deal did, back when he was still in Congress, he said, Mike, it'll never work here in Georgia. And he gave me the reasons about, you know, small counties like in the mountains and even South Georgia, they never would survive without an income tax.
And you know, that's the problem. We had too many times the speaker, even Ralston, he didn't want it, so he would push basically how sales tax can't work. And with that, it's not a sales tax. It's a broad-based consumption tax. And the part that they always left out when they did the fiscal note was government pays taxes on their spending. So you tax government, which we don't do, and government has no money. It's basically the consumer's money and the taxpayer. So with that, now what's happened is everybody's jumped in. Butch, when he ran, he changed and decided he was going to do away with the state income tax. Never really jumped on board with the fair tax. But then we have four lieutenant governors that are looking at this year, and the governor, if we, Burt Jones is who I'm supporting. And with that, the basic concept is we'll get it to 499 this year. And probably over 5 years, we will break it down to where we come to zero. That will give us a plan to make sure that we're neutral on basically the money coming in. And we understand, we still have $14 billion in the rainy day fund. We had $18 billion. And with that, we're businessmen down there that's made pretty good decisions for Georgia. They're not perfect, and we do things that I really disagree with. But like exemptions, we can't keep exempting everything in Georgia because who pays for it? Taxpayer.
Taxpayers. That's exactly right. And it's a problem here, I think, we're seeing in Hall County.
Bingo. That's right. So think about it, Steve, even what went on.
These TAD districts. And
yes.
These things of these nature that's supposed to spur. I don't have as big an issue and a problem with it when it spurs what I call commercial industrial type growth. But when we're allowing that to be into the housing area, and what I have seen in Gainesville in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, Emmy and I talked about this yesterday. The county in the city of Gainesville, we are outrunning our infrastructure with all this residential housing. It was never my intention on the commission, even though I'm not anti-growth at all. I'm for quality, good growth. But what we've got going on now, especially up the 985 corridor, with the density level on these homes on sewer is just ridiculous. You're going to have houses that really don't even have a setback. It creates problems. We got the inland port going to start up. We really don't know yet and won't know for a couple of years the impact that's going to have on our traffic situation.
All right, well, Emory, why? Because I've asked this question numerous times, and like nobody knows. We get this inland port that we got to have. State says you're going to get this inland port no matter what, and then Hall County, you deal with it. But then our former commission chairman, I asked him on the air, he said, Mike, Russell McCrary tells me we'll be one more vehicle. Excuse me? And David Gibbs rallied that against him and said, okay, you know good and well, there's going to be more traffic. But we still haven't heard anything from DOT yet about how much it is going to affect us here locally. Do you have any idea?
No, and Russell's a very good friend. The thing is, I heard the comment one or two or three more maybe vehicles. We're going to have more 18-wheelers coming in. That's why we have all these warehouses that are being built now because in a port. we're going to have more structure where there's not a red light, that you're going to have traffic backed up trying to get out of these side roads, and you're going to have more tractor trailers, as I said, moving. Now, the object, when they first started to build Inland Port, the big port, which we got, was supposed to go toward Rome, Georgia. The small port was supposed to come to Gainesville, Hall County. However, when you have certain power in a certain county, you get things accomplished.
Amen.
And with that, there were the problem of now we have all these neighborhoods on side roads, like when you're coming up from Gillsville Highway to 129, we're going to have 3,000 plus houses, apartments, and we've got another subdivision with another 1,000 or more coming out on a two-lane road. That's going to come into a four-lane road that traffic's already backed up 100 to 200 to 300 yards. And I'm like Steve here. I don't want to discontinue growth. I really want our commissioners to start realizing if you have the infrastructure, then you grow. And we keep piling and piling all this growth.
It's always backwards, isn't it?
It is always backwards. I told Gary Gibbs many years ago, I said, Gary, I said, you know, you got to understand, you're smarter than I am. However, here's the problem. We're building a disaster down around Spout Springs Road, and Friendship was not four, five, six lanes. What happened was we had traffic built, you know, continuously 2 miles back, holding back. We had no way for these guys to come in and out when they kept building the subdivisions and building the subdivisions. And I was told, well, you know, we have to build it while we're growing. And I disagreed. Let's go ahead and get the infrastructure done, and then let's move forward. And with GDOT, we still have not got 365 to the process of where it should be.
Well, in the plan, even with that, I've been told that they're going, they being the DOT, is going to expand 985 up to 52 and make it 985 up that way with limited access. And it's okay, you think about that kind of mess in the future.
Well, look at Kubota.
Sure.
Look how many Kubota plants we built, which has been great for Hall County. We've had King Hawaiian do everything they said they would do.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Kubota come in and do everything
exactly. They
said they would do, but we have so many others come in and they took the exemption. Uh-huh. We have, here's the hotels they're building everywhere. Now the city's exempt. Who pays for it? Again, it's back to the taxpayer. There's so many things, Mike, that we're behind because certain people that make those decisions benefit from it. And I hate to say that, but they benefit from it.
Sure.
And, you know, I've had several, probably 30 people want me to run for the commission. And I'm like, guys, I still have a year to be down in Atlanta.
It'd make a difference.
And Mr. Gailey's running. And yeah. I said, that's all I need. I'm good.
But both of you, y'all worked in logistics and also as engineering. Is that the 18-wheelers? You know, I was, you know, Emory, and I would think your background, if you get 18-wheeler, you're going to go the nearest place you can get to where you want to go to.
That's right.
Was basically from the Inland Port down to at 129 and go over to 85 or whatever, and same thing going southbound. I was told, more than one time, no, Mike, it's not going that way. It's going to go north. I'm going like, excuse me?
I don't think that they can even tell you which way it's going to go.
That's the deal.
I mean, you got to look. Look at the warehouses built on 985, you know, south of the Oakwood and the Flowery Branch area. A lot of those are sitting there just now, totally empty, not much going on. Well, I look at the truck traffic that's going to be on north and south, whether it's 365, 985, or whatever, is probably, my figure is going to be five times as much as what it is
well,
now.
Think about this, Steve, that area, if you were to, you know, be elected next year for that position, whoever's elected that post for North Hall and East Hall, that whole area is going to explode, according to what happens in this Inland Port, won't it?
Oh, yes, I think so, definitely. I mean, I never envisioned when we were talking about extending the sewer and working with capacity from Gainesville, it was strictly with me for an industrial commercial type growth. Never the housing component that they're putting in there right now. I mean, back when I was on the commission, it's pretty easily. You had water and had to have a septic tank, you're going to have an acre lot. Sewer lots were half acre. And now they're going with four and five homes per acre. And that's just adding, it took me from Claremont Tuesday, left my house at 9 o'clock, It took me 50 minutes to get on the other side of 985 on 129 because I was going to Athens.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Emory yesterday. Maybe I got to find a different way, maybe go through Gillsville or something like that to get down there. But the downtown traffic now is just pinlocked all day long from Green Street basically to 985.
Mm-hmm.
It is just wall to wall. It really doesn't matter what time of day. And, you know, and then you look at all the apartments that are being built in downtown Gainesville. I'm trying to justify, what are we, is it the hospital that's driving the apartments? Or what's driving the issue that we need these many apartments?
Isn't the whole idea, quote-unquote, affordable housing?
Well, these are not affordable apartments in my recollection. I mean, I'm a widower now. I have a nice home up in Claremont, about 4,000 square feet, heated, and I don't need that anymore. You know, fortunately, I don't owe that much on it, and you know, my taxes and insurance make up about $900 a month of what I pay on that house.
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked at selling it, and I looked at a two-bedroom apartment over here behind the Kroger Marketplace, Gated Community, a two-bedroom was going to run me about $1,800 a month, plus a pet fee, plus I was having to pay for my own garbage and all this. I said, wow, I got a pretty good deal where I'm at right now. Now, the nice thing about us, you know, we've all known each other since high school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we go back that far. And we see how much everything has changed in that period of time. I know that's 50 years. But then the only good thing that I have going for me, you got going for you, and at that age, that magical age of 70, I'm not dealing with that school tax no more. And believe me, I hope I live long enough to see that bill.
All right, well, with that right there, we'll talk about that. We'll keep it going here as we talk with Emory Donahue Jr. and with Steve Gailey this morning on Community Focus, talking about all kinds of things here in local government and politics, is that when it comes to the bills we approved last year, Emory, and Steve, you see that, is that, okay, now your property tax is going to raise 3%, and then you start getting to our age, then we take that school tax off. When it comes to that, was basically a protection for people's property values after you get past 70 years old, because we saw so many things here in the county. Still, all of a sudden, you know, you can't afford to live there after you get 70.
Well, I think that when we, you know, I think that with these last reassessments that's gone through in the last 3 or 4 years, that of course, tax assessors say that it's because state mandated. I don't really believe that. I don't believe that they're down there, him and him are down there mandating that they take the value of my home and double the value. It's a growth in demand situation. And, you know, and you look at what it costs to build a home now. I looked at building a small 2,200 square foot pre-engineered barn dominium, talked to my brother about it. He's a contractor. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not talking modest, you know, exaggerate things, but you were looking at $200 a square foot. We know property's expensive in Hall County. I think it's pretty much, even in the East Hall side of the area on acreage, even large acreage track or catching up with what property was selling for, you know, pretty much, I think, in South Hall and even in what Emory calls it, the golden spot of North Hall.
Uh-huh.
But, we'll never see what's happening up in the area I live unless we do get sewer up there, which I just don't see that happening, you know.
What's the benefits of sewer for residential? I mean, for us as citizens, it's costing us to have houses on sewer, isn't it, compared to the commercial part of it?
Well, no, the homes, our tax base here in the county, my understanding, the percentage to commercial and residential hasn't changed.
Right, but how much it costs for put a house on sewer compared to commercial, what brings into it is a difference from that standpoint, right?
Well, I think I don't know. When you look at the tap fees involved in paying for a sewer tap now, I don't know where they're at, but I'm sure they're up around $3,000 or $4,000 on a residential house. I mean, I think water meters are in the $3,000 range.
Right.
You could almost put a septic tank system in on an acre lot just as cheap as you could for the tap fee.
But again, it comes to, you know, we're talking about the growth in here. I ask a question, where are people coming from? We all three grew up here, folks, born and raised here basically our entire lives. Now we see all these people moving in. What are you doing? Where are you going to work and that kind of thing? And what's affordable here? Because it's like, okay, I can't see a young person graduating from high school, going through college here, and then being able to afford to deliver anymore.
Well, I think that it's priced itself pretty much. I don't think there is any affordable housing.
No, and I always ask, give me the definition of affordable housing.
Uh-huh.
And when I say that, you're looking at the apartments over here that Steve was talking about.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty expensive. When you look at the 3- and 4-bedroom apartments, they're building them everywhere to where Gainesville can be like Atlanta. You can walk everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You can walk to the grocery store. You can walk to eat. You can walk to a little bar. You're not driving when you come back home. And that's what the concept is. And that's okay. It works. But the problem is, again, if you come on a Friday, it'll take me 50 minutes if I come through town to head to Claremont Merville or Dahlonega. It's going to take me 20 extra minutes. And if you really want to have fun, go out Highway 53, MacEver Road, and then you start understanding what the traffic is before you cross the bridge.
Uh-huh.
And now they're going to subdivisions up Sardis and that area that's grown. And we're continuously having this problem with the growth. As I said, Jackson County, I represent also, they slowed down growth on building, and they said, nope, you have to wait so long before you can build in this area. You have to slow down and wait this long in this area until they get the infrastructure.
You know, that's funny thing you said that, because Mike and I had this conversation before we went on the air. It's like driving down 129 the other day. You're seeing all these padded sites, everything being built on in 129 South in Hall County. You get the Jackson County line, boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's gone. It hasn't changed in years, you right. know, from that perspective. So they must be a lot smarter in Jackson County about figuring out. And actually, to be honest with you, they have better access to major freeways and major roads than we do here in Hall County. Because one thing, we've got this big body of water up here that we all love. We grew up with it.
You get around it, though.
But you can't get around it. Uh-huh. You physically cannot get around it.
But, you know, when you look at it, that's exactly right. But in Jackson County, they have 84,000 people. Hall County, we have over 215.
Mm-hmm.
With that process, you're looking at, they want to be Hall County. I keep telling them, you can't be Hall County. You don't have the money coming in. You do not have the opportunity
to be Hall County. But they have infrastructure, though, Emory.
But they have it to come.
Uh-huh.
When you have all the exit ramps onto the interstate, when you have 441 coming through, and you start looking at where 129 runs through, all these areas for growth. We were at Jefferson Tuesday. I was waving a sign for a candidate for mayor, and for 3 hours, cars were backed up on one of the side roads. Basically, there was somewhere around 60 cars on both sides. The four lane by the Kroger and Publix and Chick-fil-A there had nonstop with the red light. They had somewhere in that whole circle of 100 cars. And it was for 3 hours solid. When we left, it was still that way. And that's in Jefferson, where you've watched it grow so much, where the Kroger is, the Publix is, and that area.
Right.
It's still going to grow more and more. But you go north 3.5 miles, then you'll hit the second growth period at the interstate. And they're wanting to grow faster, and they will, but I keep telling you, you need a 40-year plan. And in that 40-year plan, you're going to have to figure where you're going to grow, and you need to start pushing that. But you have to push it with GDOT. And with GDOT, we've got certain lanes that will come in 30 years, 40 years. We're trying to push it faster, but you have to make sure that the money's there. And the problem with the federal government, if you are passed on a single bridge across our beautiful lake or construction on a bridge and it passed single, and in 5 years you just double the growth and traffic, you still build that single bridge and not the 2-lane or 4-lane bridge. And that's the thing that's killed me for going on the 15th year I've been in the House. And my good friend Russell Murray would look at me and just say, well, that's the federal government. That's the stupidity that we have in Washington on both sides. And
that's falling off the Corps of Engineers. I mean, I know there's a big issue right now on, you know, they're looking at You know, up 129 north, there's a lot of parcels already been bought and demolished on, I guess, on the concept of them extending the four lane down from Nopone and Jim Hood Road. The biggest issue, my understanding is the bridge. The other bridge now they got to build. They put a bridge in, why don't they just build a four-lane bridge? I agree with Emory with that. Same thing down here with the Long Street Bridge.
Yep.
Why don't you just build a four-lane bridge and you got that done?
Good
you
question.
But my understanding is the big issue with the Corps of Engineers, which, of course, is a federal government agency.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Community Focus, our public affairs program. We're going to do the entire hour here with this program with Emory Donahue Jr. and with Steve Gaylor. We're going to pause for the latest news from GNN and be back with more here on 97.5 Glory FM.